That wasn't so loud. I don't think anyone would mind. Just, it's like having someone play a radio or some music. Which is written by Sanatan Goswami, who is one of our acharyas, Lord Chaitanya's associate, and it's a it's like all scripture revealed, and it's a it's a story about pursuing the goal or the journey to the goal. Every different spiritual culture, they have Pilgrim's Progress, or in Russia, there is Dostoevsky's. No.
There is a book in Russian about one monk.
Yes, same. Maybe that's Pilgrim's Progress translated into. Yeah. And except this isn't a book, this is history. It's a historical event about how a devotee achieves perfection by chanting not Hare Krishna, but by chanting Krishna's names, mantra, and Krishna mantra, and then once he achieves perfection, how he brings someone else to perfection. So, sort of in the midway to the story, he meets the inhabitants or residents of Vaikuntha. He's traveling throughout the universe. Here he's actually beyond the universe. He goes to Mahakala Loka, Mahakalapur, which is the abode of liberation. This is where the Brahmavadis want to go. Mayavadis want to go. Brahmavadis go. And he gets instruction there on the nature of chanting, but on bhakti in particular. And this same thing is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chaitanya Charitamrita, about what bhakti is, nature of bhakti. And they point out that devotional service is it's an eternal activity, and it's the eternal activity of the soul. Nitya siddha Krishna prema sadhya kabunoi shravanadi shuddha chitte korete gudoi, which is sort of a Bengali equivalent of nitya siddha subhavasya, that devotional service or ecstatic love is present within everyone's heart. Everyone is by nature a lover of Krishna, and that love is expressed through activities. Those activities are called bhakti. So chanting Krishna's name, hearing about Krishna, serving Krishna directly, all of these things are activities of bhakti. And these activities are as a consequence of the mood and spirit of perfected beings. So bhakti is a manifestation, or the acts of bhakti, the activities of bhakti, is a manifestation of love. And chanting Hare Krishna, or chanting Krishna's name, is a manifestation of that love. Now we chant Hare Krishna. But this chanting Hare Krishna is a different type of chanting. We're chanting in order to awaken love. So that chanting, this chanting, is the same mantra, but that is as a consequence of love, and this is in order to awaken it. And therefore this is called the chanting in practice, or it's called devotional service in practice. Kriti sadhya pavitsadha bhava sa sadhanavida nitya siddha sadhavasya prakti kriyatam svaya. It's not a, you don't, bhakti isn't something that comes as a result of physical activities. It's there. It's already there. It's already existing. But by performing these activities, it awakens that bhakti, that devotion. Anyway, there's this sort of word we've made up. There's another word that I found, but it's called co-causal, which is not exactly the right thing, but it means that what I'm practicing is awakening something, and that same thing that I'm awakening is causing what I'm practicing. So usually you have one cause and one effect. Here is the cause and the effect becomes then the cause, and this cause becomes the effect. So I'm chanting Hare Krishna in order to awaken a different type of chanting Hare Krishna, which will actually enable me, which will awaken love within the heart. Or I'm chanting Hare Krishna to awaken love, and when I awaken love, then I will chant Hare Krishna. It will be a different type of chanting. So, but it's there. And the whole idea is that even though there's a lot of difference between the two types of chanting, still this chanting, because it's a consequence of Krishna's mercy, Lord Chaitanya has given the chanting of the holy name. So therefore it has the effect to chaitadarpanam arjanam, to purify the heart, free the heart from all of those things that are actually covering the pure soul. So we call that false ego. Ego means identity. Sometimes Buddhists or impersonalists, they want to destroy the ego. You can't destroy. Ego means you exist. You destroy your identity, then you have no problems. But you can't destroy your identity because you're eternal. So it's an artificial thing. And even if you destroyed it, if you did destroy it, how do you know you destroyed it? Because you're not around anymore to experience it. So how do you know whether it works or not? But unfortunately, karma, or the many non-devotional activities that we perform, activities that are foreign to our soul, has actually therefore collected a lot of dirt, a lot of material dirt, and that material dirt takes different forms. It's sometimes subtle, it's sometimes gross, but it begins by identifying with this body and mind, because this then becomes the vehicle by which we act. Just like bhakti requires a vehicle with which to act, the soul is that vehicle, but that soul is a servant of Krishna. So when you deny that activity, you deny that activity, then you cover that the soul with this body, which enables you to think that you're not a servant of Krishna. And so we perform so many activities, and by that activities we collect karma, and that karma gives us false identity. So I'm this body. Identify with my thoughts and my mind and my intellectual ramblings, and so many things that come as a consequence of that and that are connected to that. I'm Romanian, I'm a male, I'm a female, I'm young, I'm old, all of these things. So that's false ego. And there are so many yoga processes on every street corner where they advertise to get rid of your false ego, to throw things away. You can't throw them away. This is not just something you just toss away. It's not a mental exercise. It's not so easy. It's very, very, very deep. Mula and tree, its roots have gone actually very deep. It's just like weeds. If you don't pull out weeds, then they get, the roots go very deep. Cut it off, what happens? It just grows back. You keep cutting it, it keeps growing back. Doesn't matter how many times you cut it. You have to pull the entire root out. Sometimes that root is really, really far down. Like some trees whose roots go down higher than the tree is. Bamboo has roots that just go out like a whole forest. So it's a very, very complex thing, and the only way that it works is through the very powerful force of that sound vibration. And so that mantra cleanses the heart, and gradually this false ego has two different forms: aham and mama, or aham and mamata, mine and I, janasya mohoya maham namerti, I referring to this body, and mine, and something is mine. So these are all misconceptions. These become the impetus to activity. They are the illusion that drives us. False identity, false possessions. But chanting the mantra becomes empowered, and it is empowered. It is an empowered gift and by Krishna's mercy, it cleanses the heart. And the more that the heart becomes cleansed, the more the nature of bhakti becomes manifest. It's like when you're cleaning, you're cleaning a lamp or something, the more you clean it, the brighter the light becomes. It's not yet fully bright, but it's getting there. So similarly, as you purify the heart, the mantra that you chant is manifesting more and more of its potency. Especially when one gets rid of a good portion of these unwanted things and one starts to become steady in spiritual life. Then in these stages of taste and attachment, then the chanting becomes very strong, it becomes very powerful. And Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma. And one then comes to sort of the boundary or the edge of material existence, and at that point chanting achieves its purpose, which is actually to again reignite that Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, that original love that's in the heart. And that happens by combination of very sincere effort and the mercy of Krishna or Guru, or solely by the mercy of the Holy Name, or any combination of those. Therefore chanting is so important. And the more you chant, the better it is. That's why there are some devotees who just chant all day long. We just had Nirjala Ekadasi, Budapest. There were four Sankirtan girls who just took a vow, they were chanting 192 rounds. They got up at midnight and they finished it by 8 o'clock in the morning. They didn't eat, they didn't drink, they just chanted. Just sitting together, they sent me a picture because I was on the farm, like sort of birds on a branch. There were four of them sitting on a bench, and they were just sitting there and chanting. And I told them, after you chant 192 rounds, 16 rounds is like, what have I been doing all my life? Wasting my time. So, the more the better. Because the more you polish a thing, the quicker it becomes cleansed. But one has to be attentive. And that's one of the main aspects or ingredients of anything. You're cooking, you're not attentive, all of a sudden you got a missing finger because you cut off your finger, or you burn yourself. Anything that you do, you're having a conversation or someone's talking to you and you're not paying attention, the next minute you look and they've walked out. They're not there anymore because they know you're not paying attention. So anything, you're driving a car and you're not paying attention, you have an accident. So in spiritual life, one also has to be attentive to what one is doing. And when someone's talking, how do you pay attention to them? Well, you can make eye contact, you can do a lot of things, but the most important thing is to listen to them. If you listen to them, you can close your eyes. But if you're not listening to them, then it doesn't matter how well some may be looking off in another world. So that then becomes our meditation. People talk about meditation, to meditate on something, and they have so many things that they want to meditate on. We meditate on that sound vibration. And to learn how to actually be attentive, because the tendency will be is that the mind may want to wander. The mind may want to go here, the mind may want to go there. So learning how to bring the mind back and to fix it. And if you hear properly, then Krishna means all attractive. So Krishna is very attractive, and Krishna's name is attractive. So the more you listen to it, the more you become attracted to it. When you don't listen to it, then the more the mind will tend to wander. And that will become the symptom of bhakti yoga prayojita janayati ashuvairagyam jnanam chayad ahoitakam. That will be the natural symptom, that if someone is listening properly, then it starts to sound nicer and nicer, and hearing becomes easier and easier and easier. So we're chanting. We're chanting like that. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya. This kriti, these activities, then this becomes the sadhan, and there's the sadhya, and there's the sadhyata. Everything has these things. Sadhan means an activity, something that you practice for a sadhya, for a particular goal. And what is it that you want to achieve? Bhava. Bhava means love for Krishna. So we want to achieve that. Everybody does something for a purpose. So similarly, we're also doing something for a purpose. And that purpose is to awaken that love of God. Because when we awaken that love of God, then our bhakti really becomes of the same spiritual nature as Krishna. And then you can serve Krishna directly. With this practicing devotion, then we serve Krishna in the material world, but we don't have direct access to Krishna, because what we're doing is a spiritualized activity, but it's not of the same substance as when it's a consequence of love. So that is a product of Krishna's internal potency. And this is internal potency, but it's manifest still through external senses, and it's done without the corresponding internal awakening. So it's there. The fact that we can chant Hare Krishna is as a result of Krishna's mercy, which is his kripa, his blessing on us. But still, even though we have that blessing, still we're, Krishna says, lower nature, higher nature. We're in conflict with our past habits, and in Kali Yuga, it's quite a tough conflict. So therefore chanting kirtan, chanting bhajan, chanting japa, that then becomes the real key. All the other activities also do that. Reading Bhagavatam, and this becomes especially potent. Any questions or comments? Is there a code for this? Did you got a code how to come in? Or we have to press the button?
The key. We pressed the button, but seems to be didn't hear us.
Uh-huh. How did you get in?
We pressed another button. Of some neighbors.
They heard of you. should try it out. Maybe it was just us. So tomorrow, what will we do?
Tomorrow we'll come at 10:30. We'll pick you up and we go to the Indian embassy.
What time is that?
At 10:30. We have to be there at 11.
Is that enough time?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. What's his name, gentlemen? I'll look him up.
Mr. Ray.
Roy?
Roy,
he's Partha. Bengali, huh?
Ray Partha, P-R-A-T-H-A.
Roy Partha.
Roy Partha, or Partha Roy.
Yes, yeah.
Partha Roy. Uh-huh. So he sounds Bengali. I'll see, I'll Google him. And what's the name of the ambassador?
No, the Hadha.
Anywhere else?
Cham.
I'll see it on the internet. Okay, and then we come back for lunch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's half an hour or?
Let's see, something like
that. Mm-hmm. Well, on the way we can talk about what we want to talk to him about, but we'll take a little prasadam. We've got some prasadam to take. Yeah, with Ponda. I can't hear what she's saying. With Ponda.
These are better for first.
Me, Prasadam, what Fogan Gallagher and me are not here at night. I must give us enough. I'm in the eye.
Yeah, I'm pushing them out.
Not Shami Mash. No, okay, we don't have anything Indian. We have some moha, then we'll take that Rakta Hita, then we'll have a little box on Krishna Vaspada. Yeah, well, it would be good if we're taking moha from us rather than. I don't know of my biology. Some magazine. We got anything in English? Got anything in Romanian?
We gave him last time I gave him a book, but he's a kind of like, how to say, he just threw it away and he's not so interested. I think better to give him prasadam.
Okay.
Ramesh Chandra, it's the name of the ambassador.
Hmm?
Ramesh Chandra.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, they're all Hindus.